The revolution of mass and scale. Organized human activity underwent a vast and dramatic enlargement of mass and scale in the early 20th century. In government, the bureaucratic mass state. In economy, the mass corporation. In society, the mass church, the mass universities and educational institutions, the mass media and mass associations that contain and discipline the population. Smaller and more compact traditional societies were no longer viable. The tendency of mass organization is to grow. This brings it into conflict with more traditional organizations and their ideas, values, and systems of belief. The scale of mass organization necessitates a new managerial elite. The complexity of mass organization depends on highly technical functions and skills which create this new elite. The managerial elite differ in composition, structure, mentality, and interests from older elites that presided in the 18th century and from those that ruled in the 19th century. Mass organizations cannot be governed through the personal skills and character, the legal relationships or the status categories that suffice to equip the elites of the smaller organizations of earlier eras. Instead, they rely on technical, highly specialized skills and knowledge acquired through formal training and necessary for the control and direction of mass organizations. Merit, the ability to acquire and to use proficiently the skills necessary for the direction of mass organizations, is the criterion by which entrance to and ascendancy within the new elite are gained. The new elite, therefore, have no interest in preserving and, in fact, have considerable interest in discrediting or abandoning other criteria of reward and professional and social advancement, such as status, kinship, inheritance, or adherence to moral codes, which were prevalent criteria in traditional elites. They therefore have a permanent incentive to increase scale and to increase reliance on technical skills, which increases their own power and further diminishes that of the old elites. Against the old order, the persistence of traditional institutions and systems of belief constrains and impedes the continuing growth of mass organizations and their operations, and it is imperative for emerging elites to challenge, discredit, and erode the moral, intellectual, and institutional fabric of traditional society that sustains older elites and the ideologies on which their rule is based. The elites of mass organizations formulate and seek to impose new ideologies that reflect their own interests and rationalize the dominance, functioning, and continuing enlargement of the structures through which they hold power. The old bourgeois elite of the 19th century depended on small-scale and relatively non-technical organizations in the economy, state, and culture. They made use of ideologies that legitimized and rationalized the private, individual, localized, and diversified organizations of the order that it dominated. In contrast, the structures of mass organization tend to be public rather than private, collective rather than individual, centralized rather than local, and homogenizing rather than diversified. The old bourgeois elite was the elite of entrepreneurial capitalism. There was also an older aristocratic elite. Before they were displaced by the bourgeois elites of the 19th century, the aristocratic elites ruled. And these elites stressed social bonds and concepts such as duty and obligations. These were the prescriptive orders, and some of these also persist. The remnants. The momentum of mass society is such that the institutional remnants of the earlier social and political orders are everywhere on the defensive, and often in desperate efforts to sustain their legitimacy and influence, imitate the organization's style values and discourse of mass society. There are three kinds of mass organization. Number one, the mass state in government. Number two, the mass corporation in the economy. And number three, the mass organizations of culture and communication, mass media, any and all institutions through which information is disseminated and controlled. The skills of the managerial elites. Number one, purely technical or scientific skills involving the application of the physical or social sciences to the economic, political, and social activities of mass organizations. Number two, verbal and communicational skills involving the techniques by which information, ideas, and values are transmitted to the mass population within the elite itself. Number three, administrative skills by which the structure and functioning of mass organizations themselves are governed. The elite holds power over society through the managerial regime. Although there are sometimes conflicts between its three integrated sectors, the mass state, the economy of mass corporations, and the mass organizations of culture, there is also an underlying unity, a common interest, and a common mentality, a consensus that is often unspoken or assumed on what constitutes the best interests and common goals of a society or of mankind, which interests and goals are in fact the perceived interests and goals of the managerial elite as a whole, expressed in terms of formulas and ideologies that rationalize and universalize the special interests of the elite as the general interests of the community and the world. Managerial capitalism. The characteristic that ordinarily distinguishes the mass corporation from the entrepreneurial firm that predominated in the bourgeois economic order of the 19th century is the dispersion of ownership of the corporation into the hands of the mass of stockholders. Dispersion of ownership means that the owners themselves cannot operate the corporate enterprise, necessitating the hiring of professional managers. Owners versus managers. Owners are primarily interested in the increased yield of the dividend. Managers, on the other hand, are interested in the well-being and particularly in the growth of the corporation itself, and they typically desire not to pay out higher yields to the owners, but to reinvest corporate profits in an increased capacity for greater output and enlargement of facilities and operations. The goal of corporate growth and the ever-increasing expansion of the mass economic organization has become embedded in the professional code of the modern corporate managers, and the goal corresponds to their group interests. The managerial class have wrested effective control over corporations from the owners. Even if owners revolt, all they can do is end up hiring new managers. Owners are reduced, therefore, to being the mere beneficiaries of managerial capitalism, and thereby are assimilated into the same sets of interests as the managers. The entrepreneurial firm. The small entrepreneurial firm is an obvious source of conflict for the managerial elites, and so the mass corporation aims to absorb them or drive them out of business as quickly as possible. This ensures that the mass economy of managerial capitalism is oligopolistic, and the concentration of industry among relatively few large corporations that seek to regulate prices independently of the market. The emergence of a managerial economy thus challenges the sovereignty of the market and the consumer, as well as the entrepreneurial economic structures of the old bourgeois order. Hard property versus virtual property. The old bourgeois order favored hard currency and hard property because private property was central to its worldview. However, in the managerial order, there is a separation of ownership and control, and property is thus dematerialized, leading to a more abstract conception of property, leading to inflation, unreality, and at times spiraling into madness. Hence, the managerial elite favors economies based on fiat currency and debt in which everything is rented or borrowed, promoting consumption through credit. Inducing this frame of mind in the mass society is useful for the managerial elites because it reduces opposition to public regulation of the economy, while at the same time undermining the autonomy and power of the bourgeoisie and other social forces that challenge or resist the managerial regime. Managerial capitalism, unlike its ancestor, entrepreneurial capitalism, is directly dependent on the state, and the fusion of the state and the economy represents also a fusion of the managerial elites of those sectors. Civilizational struggle. This conflict between managerial and entrepreneurial elites is part of a wider struggle over moral and social codes, as well as political structures. The interests of the managerial elite lie in the growth and expansion not only of the mass corporation, but also of the mass state and mass society, which necessitates the subversion of bourgeois institutions and values. To do this, they must be wedded to mass media, mass advertising, and control over education to strike at the very root of the old social and moral order. The bourgeois values are summarized by John Lukács as domesticity, privacy, comfort, the concept of the home and of the family. It emphasized the virtues of hard work, thrift, prudence, and the deferral of gratification. It regarded laziness, conspicuous consumption, and luxury, and immediate gratification of appetites as morally evil and the root of social decadence. However, these values prove ineffective at disciplining the mass society, and their persistence acts as a constraint on the development of managerial capitalism and an obstacle for the growth of mass corporations. In contrast, managerial values seek to foster collective conformity and to diminish individualism. The individual eccentricities of managers and workers must be subordinated to collective goals. Conformity is reflected in the social life, including dress, tastes, uses of leisure, and so on. Managerial values seek to break down the diversity of the bourgeois order and to impose homogeneity, which is in the nature of mass production and mass consumption. Managerial capitalism must therefore articulate and sponsor an ideology of cosmopolitanism that asserts universal identities, values, and loyalties. In the cosmopolitan view of man, family, local community, religious sect, social class, sexual and racial identity, and moral character are at best subordinate considerations and are regarded as artificial, repressive, and obsolete barriers to fulfillment of human potential. Because of all this, it seeks to destroy individualism by promoting mass hedonism and consumption. The social function of this hedonism is not liberation, but a form of conformity and consumer discipline. In other words, get excited for the next Star Wars film and do not question the product. Now get out.